Hi, I'm Dr. Pam P, host of the Herb Podcast. Welcome to our show in episode 491, closing in on 500, as we share the truth about her mind, her life, her body, and today, her grains. And it's not what you think. This is going to be a wild and crazy time. And of course, it's a special show. And of course, we have Chef Abby Gelman right back with us to have some fun with. Before we begin, just know that this episode is sponsored by Solaray Vitamins, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y. These are vitamins, minerals, and herbs rooted in nature, and they've got a really special gift for women, the award-winning Her Life Stage products, which support women all the way from the menstrual years, including PMS, through perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause. Basically, it's an integrative, holistic approach to having a woman's back throughout her entire life journey. So to learn more about Her Life Stages products, run on over to your local health food store. You could go to Whole Foods, Sprouts, Amazon, or check it out at solaray.com. And if you go to the website, use the promo code HER20 for 20% off, because you'll be glad you did. And here's your first official reminder to click on iTunes to rate and review today's show right afterwards, because we love your feedback. I'll give you a little reminder later on too. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
Now, every time I mention grains to people, they break out into hives. Chef Abby, you are our culinary nutritionist with a background that is beyond stellar, including a master's degree in nutrition science. You are a registered dietitian, and you're also, you're such a culinary person, as you are a certified chef. So you're kind of everything all rolled up into one beautiful, wonderful human being. That's you, Chef Abby Gelman. And so, Chef Abby, how about grains? Why do people break out into hives when we bring up the issue of grain? It's like, oh no.
Everyone is so scared of carbs.
What's up?
Yeah. And it makes me sad, because so many different types of grains, and they all have their own special, unique flavors, textures, specialness that they add. I think they just add joy in addition to all the great nutrition.
Yeah. Yesterday I had some really wonderful barley and I threw into some soup that I love that stuff. And there's a lot of grains people don't even know about, but you know, backing it up, just like you said, stop being so afraid of this wonderful thing called grains. Why? Because they're absolutely loaded with nutrients, which we'll be talking about. And hello, fiber. You're supposed to have at least 40 grams of fiber a day, and you're not getting anywhere near it if you don't have whole foods, fruits, vegetables, as well as grains. They all have wonderful fiber in them, and it's really important. And whole grains are also linked with a reduced risk of colorectal cancer, cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, and a whole mess of other conditions too. And so it's important to add a wider variety, because your little gut microbiome says, I'm bored. I mean, really seriously, when all you ever give it is wheat, corn, rice, and oats, like, yawn. How about we get into some more really cool things on the overall? So why don't we start out with something like, I don't know, like buckwheat? What about that one, Chef Abby?
I love buckwheat. And when I was growing up, some of our listeners might know it as kasha. So buckwheat and kasha are the same thing. It's a gluten-free grain, even though it does say wheat right in there. It is a gluten-free grain. And it's great. Another easy one to make ahead and have available all week. It has a really nice, like, nutty flavor and a great chewy texture. It works especially well in like a cold salad or a side dish.
So how do you prepare it? Like when you want to prepare it for a meal, what are some of your favorite ways as a chef to do this?
Sure. So just when you buy it as a whole grain, you can cook it kind of like you do rice. I often will toast it in the pan first and then add water and maybe a little bit of salt, but that's pretty much it. So you're cooking it similar to how you would cook rice. You can also get buckwheat flour, which I actually have some good recipes using buckwheat flour on my website for things like banana bread and pancakes, that type of stuff. They again add that really nice, nutty, earthy flavor that's going to be, I think, less heavy than what some people might feel if they're eating like a whole wheat flour. So that buckwheat flour adds a different kind of dimension there.
Now, what is this whole issue about buckwheat, Tartary buckwheat? And it's got a source of rutin, that's R-U-T-I-N, and that's a plant pigment that may play a role in preventing inflammation and diabetes. Whoa. And they say maybe this is because rutin helps to make blood vessels strong and flexible. Whoa, I bet you didn't know that about buckwheat.
Yeah, which is great. And there's some brands now. So if you bought, for example, just a box or a bag of buckwheat, it would probably be straight buckwheat. But there are also some brands that are doing this Tartary buckwheat, and it will say on the label specifically Tartary buckwheat.
So that you know which one's going to be loaded with the rutin.
Yeah, exactly.
So that works out really well.
Yeah, and I've seen it also ground down in a way, the Tartary buckwheat, where it's like an add into your smoothie or oatmeal, that kind of thing. You just mix it in.
Oh, that's fantastic. And then the other thing you should know is that just a cup of the cooked buckwheat has 6 grams of protein.
That's a lot.
And 4.5 grams of fiber. You know what I say to that? Bring it on. People don't realize that protein's associated with grain as well. To your point, when we first opened up, you know, people think it's all about carb. No, no, stop that stuff. And what is this thing about? I remember buckwheat flour being used for pancakes and crepes and cookies and crackers and all kinds of other cool French Acadian flatbreads, and it just seems like it's really multidimensional.
Yeah, and I've seen it a lot more lately. It's becoming more and more popular, especially that buckwheat flour. So you'll see, sometimes it might be in a bakery where you'll see those specialty things that use the flour, but you might see some buckwheat flour packaged crackers or things like that.
Oh, I remember why that whole thing when you said kasha, that reminded me, that was the porridge style breakfast, right?
Depends on how you make it. But for me, not really. I don't like it to be too creamy. I like it more with more texture and more bite.
Me too. I think that's why I was confused for a while about how to really work buckwheat into my little daily cuisine, as it were, but I really love it. Oh, that's the best. So remember, 6 grams of protein, 4.5 grams of fiber. We love that. Now, how about millet?
Millet is great. It actually is teeny tiny and it takes a lot longer to cook than you think. So keep that in mind if you're making it. But I love it because it's so small and I've used it to do things like making a millet cake where there's no flour in it. It's just the actual cooked millet mixed with some other things like eggs and fruit that bind it together. And you cook it in a cake pan and it's like a breakfast cake essentially, but there's really not much sugar in it. It's just all the whole grains and fruit and some egg. It's delicious.
Oh, that's fantastic. Once again, hello, hello. 6 grams of protein for a cup of the cooked millet. In this case, 2 grams of fiber and also all kinds of good things in it, like iron, magnesium, potassium, ferulic and phytic acids. And these are antioxidants with anti-inflammatory effects.
Yeah, absolutely.
Isn't that great stuff? I mean, just from a little guy like millet, I've done millet in salads. I kind of like that. And what is the difference between pearl and finger millet?
So the pearl millet is pearled, kind of like pearl barley versus regular barley. So it cooks faster.
Ah,
so that kind of speaks to how it takes the regular millet takes a lot longer to cook than you think. So it's, I want to say like 45 minutes probably for regular millet to cook, but the pearl is probably half that.
And it's also, you said that when we were talking about buckwheat, that there was like a nutty kind of taste. Well, this one also has a nutty taste, like a hazelnut or something.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of these different grains have like that more earthy nuttiness to them, which is great and goes so well in like soup and stew or in a salad, like you mentioned before. And then you can also put them into patties, that kind of thing. They kind of mush together well when you have a little binder in there.
And there's also, what is the thing with overcooking the grain to the point of stickiness?
Yeah, so if you put extra liquid in and then overcook them, then they're able to kind of mush together a little bit, right? Because they're softer. And then you can bind them together really nicely into like a vegetarian or a vegan burger, essentially, or the cake that I mentioned earlier that I like to do with the apples, but they'll stick together nicely.
Oh, man. I mean, it's just like, look at all these opportunities out there in the Herb Podcast land that you're missing with grains if you're not really kind of enhancing the offerings for yourself, thinking this thing through, buckwheat and now millet. What about amaranth?
Yes, amaranth is also teeny tiny. And I see this a lot more in like Ethiopian or African style cooking, and people almost like cook it on the stovetop and pop it and make it crunchy and add it to things as like a crunchy topping or a nice like texture addition.
Okay, I see. Because I haven't really used this much, but I'd love to be able to experiment a little bit. Is it easy to cook?
Yeah, super easy. I would say this, again, like works a little bit better if you want something more like a pudding consistency or a creamier porridge, or separately like toasting it and adding it as a crunch factor.
Well, check this out. 1 cup of cooked amaranth, 9 grams of protein.
That's amazing.
Yep, 9 grams. And then it's packed with fiber, 5 grams per cooked cup. I mean, this is why this little guy is a real powerhouse, to say the least. It's a really good substitute if you want to for, you know, if you're flexitarian or vegetarian, whatever, for animal-based proteins, which I think is very cool. And I think vegans like this, don't they?
Yeah, I would imagine so. It would give them a lot of what they need with the high protein count.
Huh. And you could also make a pudding with it?
Yeah, I guess if you grind it, then you use it like a flour and maybe make it like a pudding.
Interesting. All right. Woo. All right. So moving right along, here comes another one. Bet everyone out there in the Her Podcast land is just taking notes right and left. Sorghum. What about that?
I love sorghum. I have been kind of talking about sorghum for a long, long time. I knew their commodity board, the sorghum board, many, many years ago. It reminds me of couscous. So that's what it looks like a large couscous, except that couscous is technically a pasta, whereas sorghum is a whole grain. So you cook it the same way, again, as you would cook rice, and then you add it. It has a nice texture to it also, and it's great to add to those grain bowls or soups and stews and all that kind of stuff. Is kind of the easiest, most straightforward way to do it.
Once again, it's got that nutty flavor. I just find that to be very attractive about these grains. It tastes good. And then it's got about 8 grams of protein per cooked cup. And there's something unique about this. And that is sorghum also is a great source of iron. And, you know, for women who are menstruating, that's something to keep in mind.
Yeah, that's always important. Mm-hmm.
Right? So where are we going to find this in meals? You know, things like, you know, is it a breakfast porridge? Is it lunch, dinner, what?
You can kind of do all of the above, just like the other one. So if you want a creamier breakfast porridge, you kind of cook it a little bit longer and add a little bit of extra liquid. Or if you want it to be added to a grain bowl or a side dish or a salad or things, you would kind of cook it like you cook rice. And I've also seen there used to be a company that sold it, I think they're still around, but popped sorghum. So you pop it just like popcorn.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you could do it on the stovetop.
Oh my God, that's so cool. All right, so that would be kind of a healthy, fiber-rich way to be able to have some fun with a grain. So that's another really interesting thing. I'm just thinking a sorghum bowl with black beans, amaranth, and avocado. I mean, what a recipe that would be. And here you're combining grains. So how often do you combine grains?
So it depends. I tend to be someone who preps for the week ahead. So I'll usually make one pot of beans and one pot of one grain and kind of use them all week. But if I'm trying to do something special, then I'll make stuff ahead and freeze it. So like I'll portion size grains and freeze them ahead so that maybe today I have sorghum in my dinner and tomorrow I have steel cut oats in my breakfast.
Wow. Okay. Well, your microbiome is incredibly happy. You know, the other thing too, as a side, the microbiome is filled with, you know, just a trillion little friends with benefits, all the bacteria and whatnot. They're helping break down your food. But, you know, you got to feed them. They're not just robots. And they really thrive on diversity. And so I think you and I have talked about this endlessly in the past. And that is, you know, as we go from season to season, to really experiment with what's out there. So right now, as we're in autumn and really dead set in autumn right now and coming up on the holidays, what kind of ways would you like to be creative, Chef Abby, with any of these grains, combining them with the diversity that's available for the autumn season?
Yeah, I mean, with that buckwheat, and I know since we're coming on the holidays, people are making cookies and cake and all of these things. So that buckwheat flour really does wonderful things if you want to make like a quick bread or pancakes or something like that. That's a nice kind of twist. I also really, really like the idea of kind of the crunchiness on top of using that amaranth as a crunchy topping for it could be like a little cheesecake, like, you know, bite-sized cheesecake or the top of a chocolate pudding or something, just to kind of add a twist and then have people asking about it, something that they're not used to. It might be fun to do something like that for a holiday party, you know?
Very cool. And I'm, of course, I'm a pumpkin and squash person.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm just ripping through those suckers in a heartbeat and a half.
Well, yeah, you could do something really nice with like pureed pumpkin or squash and some like popped amaranth or something on top there.
So let's go to the final one here and circle back for a minute about some practical issues. Like, where do you find this stuff? Because, you know, it's like oftentimes not very much available in typical supermarkets. But well, let's just see. So the final one was one that was a huge surprise to me when I first learned about it a while back. And that's TEFF, T-E-F-F. Tell us about TEFF.
This is, if you've ever had Ethiopian cuisine, it's what makes the flatbread that goes with every Ethiopian meal. And it's delicious. So that's primarily how I have had it before, is in injera, which is that spongy flatbread. But you can also it's again, little teeny tiny, it looks like seeds, but when you cook it again, it can become a stew or a breakfast porridge or something like that, similar to what a lot of the other things are doing, what we've been talking about.
Well, it kind of blew me away when I found out that one cup of this cooked teff has, hold on, 10 grams of protein and 7 grams of fiber. That's just crazy. That's twice as much as you'd find in an equal serving of brown rice. Now, the other reason why it was an eye popper for me is, you know me, I'm all about bone health. Got to have healthy bones. And I didn't realize until I had done my little homework that teff has a ton of calcium and iron. So it's really good for bone and blood health. Who knew this is little stuff, you know? I mean, it's like, wow, who knew? All right. Now, where do you find this stuff?
Right, exactly. So it depends on where you live, right? So the easiest thing is if you are on the internet and order things online, you can find a lot of it online. I haven't double checked Amazon, for example, but a lot of stuff is easy to order and get sent to you online. If you live and shop at a Whole Foods, a lot of this can be found there or at some of the higher end retail or grocery stores. But things like buckwheat, that should be very easy to find pretty much everywhere. And if you can't find buckwheat for some reason in your grocery store where all the grains are, go look in the ethnic section where they do Jewish foods, because that's where it'll be the same thing, but it'll be labeled kasha probably.
Ah, I see. I see. And wouldn't health food stores have this too?
They should. Health food stores should definitely have all of it.
I kind of make a beeline to my local health food store, and they have aisles where I know exactly where to find any of this. And if I can't find it, they're incredibly helpful at help, you know, just like saying, okay, well, the best place is, if I'm really looking for something a little off the wall. But I love health food stores and thank God for them, because, you know, they've got so much of what we need. So, oh my gosh, this is so cool. I'm just arguing for everyone out there in the Her Podcast land, please, oh, please, oh, please, would you please diversify that which you eat? Don't be doing the same thing every single day, because it's actually not healthy. You know, the diversity feeds a very diverse population of the microbiome. And so if you just, oh my gosh, please, whatever you do, don't be just, you know, having processed foods all the time, but try to do more than that. Get the fruits and vegetables in there and try to diversify that as best you can. I'm a crazy person about local farms, you know, whenever they have anything in season, assuming, of course, it's not snowy and, you know, wintry out there and back and forth, but supporting the local farmers is very important to me. For fruits and vegetables and such, even flowers, kind of like that too. And plus, there's nothing in the world more fun than going to a farmer's market. I love that. You've got good ones up where you are.
Oh, yeah. We have great farmer's markets. There's one near me on Saturdays that I like to walk over to.
Yeah, I know. It just depends upon where you are. But, you know, the more rural it is, to a certain degree, you've got a lot of farms out there. And I hope that, you know, knock on wood, you have access to some of this. And this is another shout out to the fact that we need to have greater access for everyone out there to fresh fruits and vegetables, especially because this is so terribly important, instead of the junk that people just microwave and walk away and say, hey, I'm perfectly fine. No, you're not. That's not happening. I know, but you know, we laugh, but on the other hand, it's sad, especially in a lot of the inner city and back and forth. There's a real paucity of what we need to have, but hopefully people are going to start addressing this issue in a more uniform, strategic way, and everyone can be able to benefit from this. Otherwise, what's the point anyway? So I hope all of you now, a heck of a lot more smart about buckwheat and millet, amaranth, sorghum, and teff. You know, it sounds like I'm speaking a different language. Oh, I love it. Oh my gosh. So are you already thinking about Thanksgiving and what you're going to cook?
Kind of, a little bit. I always do it with friends and I'm always in charge of side dishes. So I've started to peruse and look around a little bit. Yeah.
Well, what do you do as a chef when you're like trolling recipes and trying to scope? I'm dying to know, like, what do you do?
If I am not doing something that I already have in my wheelhouse, if I want to branch out, then usually I try to pick an ingredient that I want to center around. And then I'll look at different cookbooks that I have or specific sites that I trust that always have good, tested, well-done recipes, and then see if I can find anything I like. And then sometimes I do someone else's recipe, and sometimes I do kind of like a mishmash of a few different things together.
Well, you know, it's got to be awesome to have someone like you show up at Thanksgiving.
I'm in charge of very specific things because they know that like the vegetables will always taste good if I'm in charge of the vegetables.
All right. What's going to happen with the turkey? Who's doing it?
So my friends will always make the turkey and the stuffing and the gravy. They're very, very well versed in that. And then I get to do things like zhuzh up the veggies.
But what about vegetarian and vegan people?
They're not at my table, but there's a lot of good things you can do with tofu. If you want to add tofu-based things for the vegans and the vegetarians, that's always very handy. And of course, beans, lentils, huge possibilities there with those items too.
I wish you weren't so far away because I'd drag you over to ours. And I'd say, help, but what can I say? So this has been all about wild and crazy grains. Feed your gut microbiome some of this. You need fiber, no less than 40 to 45 grams per day. So start adding it up, rack it up throughout the day. Think fiber. You need it, you need it, you need it. You need protein, girlfriends. Whoever you are out there, you need no less than 60 grams of protein a day, right? No less than 60. And depending upon your muscularity, you know, your athleticism, how tall you are and all the rest of it, you know, the range is easily 60 to 80 grams, if not a little bit more, to be able to maintain that wonderful muscle that you've got. Because what's the point of going to the gym if you're not there to be able to supply the amino acids from protein to repair the muscles that you've just tortured, excuse me, exercised for a short period of time. So this is why I love these grains, because they give you, they're packed with wonderful minerals, micronutrients, as well as fiber and protein. And of course, they have some carbohydrate in them. You need carbohydrate. Don't be running from carbohydrate. However, you know, be strategic and do high quality and an appropriate portioned carbohydrate, and you should be perfectly fine. So how's that sound, Chef Abby?
That sounds great.
Everything I know, I learned from you. I'm just saying. All right. Well, you know, we've had a fabulous, wonderful time here. I just love this. Everything about grains, those healthy, wild, and crazy grains, especially the ones you never hear about, and you better start experimenting with. Have a little bit of fun. And Chef Abby, just one more golden nugget from you about what we should be doing with grains in general.
I like the idea of experimenting and trying different ones to see which ones you like enough to add to your rotation. you know, and again, it's like food focused goals is what I call them. So something that's not overwhelming. So maybe your food focused goal is to pick one of these whole grains that's new to you and find it and buy it and cook it and try it a couple times this week and see how it goes.
And it doesn't take that long. I really want to give Tef a little try. I, you know, I've been to obviously Ethiopian restaurants, and I'm sure I had it without even knowing, but I'd love to be able to play with that a little bit. So this has sort of incentivized me, and I hope it's incentivized all of you out there. So Chef Abby, thank you again for being so wonderful and being here for us.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. We're going to do rinse and repeat, because we will have you back a million more times for more and more and more, because it's all about healthy nutrition, healthy cooking, delicious food, and enjoying all of this. Okay, now everyone run on over to iTunes and rate and review this terrific episode, because I want to hear from you. And here's another shout out to our sponsor, Solaray, S-O-L-A-R-A-Y, vitamins, minerals, and herbs rooted in nature. And don't forget the Solaray Her Life Stages products, which really support a woman all the way from the menstrual years through PMS, perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause. Run on over to your local health food store, to Sprouts, to Whole Foods, Amazon, or just check it out at Solaray.com using promo code HER20 for 20% off. This has been another wonderful HER podcast. I'm Dr. Pam Peake, your host, and I want to thank each and every one of you for listening in and being such an important part of our HER podcast community. Pop on over to drpeake.com to learn more about my work and social media. Join me every single week for another HER podcast, where you're going to hear from extraordinary, entertaining, and engaging thought leaders like Chef Abby Gelman, our culinary nutritionist, as we share our wit and wisdom for you to enjoy. So thanks so much. And remember that your time in this world may be limited, but the things you can do with that time are not. So get on out there and seize the day, carpe diem. Have a great one.